God save the United States and this honorable court.
Please be seated.
Good morning. The court calls the case of United States versus Tech Sergeant James P. Sock for oral argument. The order for oral argument was issued after the court ordered the government to produce post-trial discovery concerning whether the appellant's case was one of six investigations the DOD IG found contained significant deficiencies. The government failed to comply with the discovery order in a timely manner and gave no indication that it was prepared to comply. Therefore, the court ordered oral argument to consider whether the court should dismiss the charges and specifications, or alternatively, whether the court should hold appellate government counsel in contempt of court or some other resolution. Before we begin, I note that yesterday evening, the government filed two declarations that are responsive to the post-trial discovery order, indicating the appellant's investigation was not one which DOD IG found contained significant deficiencies. The government did not request to cancel oral argument, and this court decided oral argument was still appropriate on this issue to ensure there is no further confusion about the legal effects of this court's orders. Counsel for the government, you may proceed, and I understand you want to reserve 10 minutes?
Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the court. I'm Robert Bruce. Here the holder and I have the privilege of representing the United States in this case. As we don't have a brief before the court on the issue set forth in this court's order, I'd like to begin with the introductory comment for the court, if I may. The United States has never intended to convey disrespect or contempt to this court, in this case or in any case. Simply put, nothing could be further from the truth. We have, and we will always have, the utmost respect for the court. But in the rare case where we have a professional disagreement with the court, as in this case, we in no way intend to convey disrespect, disobedience, or contempt. Reasonable people can reasonably disagree. And it's certainly natural on rare occasion that we will have professional disagreements. That is the nature of our profession. On those rare occasions of professional disagreement, we generally assure the court we have no intention of conveying disrespect, disobedience, or contempt. I'd like to speak about rare occasions of professional disagreement. In preparation for the argument today, we did a quick hand count of TTAC certificates of review over the past 8 years. And we found that the TJAC had ordered approximately 26 cases sent to CAF during that 8 year span, which is about 3.25 per year, or roughly about 1% of this court's actions. Our professional disagreement with this court has indeed been rare. I'd like to note that a motion for stay is not provided in this court's rules or the amendment of the court's motion. This court's Rule 18.1 provides, and I quote, an order of the court is a command or directive issued by the court and may be either interlocutory or final in nature. Shortly thereafter, Rule 18.3 provides, in quote, effective date of decision. Decisions of this court are not self-executing. Normally, decisions of this court become final when the time period for requesting reconsideration has expired and neither of the parties has timely filed to have the issue heard by CAF.
That deals with decisions, not orders of the court, which are a different matter, are they not?
That's a good question, Your Honor, but we don't draw a distinction between decisions, orders, and I think that's borne out in the actual cases that have been certified to CAF by the Judge Advocate General.
So help me understand the government's position then. So an order of this court is not self-executing, meaning what? Meaning that the parties don't need to follow it until a period of 60 days for TJAG cert has elapsed?
We certainly have a duty to comply with the court's order. There's no disputing that. But there's a competing interest, and I would respectfully suggest an overriding interest, and that is TJAG's statutory authority to send any case to CAF that he chooses to certify under Article 67.
Let me ask, how does that become workable, though, for this court if any decision by this court, as you're saying, both our opinions and our orders, essentially have a 60-day built-in stay on them? So for every EOT request, for every motion for to compel affidavits from trial defense counsel that this court can't set a due date before 60 days. Everything has to have a 65-day later time.
Well, Your Honor, if I can pick one of the examples you cite to, motions concerning compelling affidavits, I would remind the court respectfully about the case of the United States versus Nelson. None of the judges here were on the court at the time of Nelson, but Nelson is quite instructive on this very issue. In Nelson, this court issued an order denying the government's motion to admit an affidavit from trial defense counsel. It was nothing more than that, a denied motion. The government requested the Judge Advocate General to certify that denial of a motion to CAF, and CAF entertained that issue, and in fact agreed with the government that in fact this court abused its discretion by denying a motion to admit an affidavit. So if we can obtain TJAC certificate of review on the denial of a motion to admit an affidavit, it is our position that we certainly would be permitted to ask the Judge Advocate General to certify a case where this court has ordered appellate discovery. We don't see any distinction between those two situations.
Yes, and that may or may not be. I mean, in Nelson, of course, we issued a decision that was the subject of the appeal to CAF. But if the government, if the court issues an order and the government is considering obtaining some sort of appellate review of that order, either through a petition for extraordinary relief to CAF or TJAG certification, the government states that a motion for a stay is not specifically provided for in our rules. But would it not be better practice for the government to somehow notify the court that it is seeking review and ask for a period of enlargement or a motion for appropriate relief or some other similarly titled motion asking the court to delay enforcement of its order so the government can consider its options?
Well, Your Honor, as you've already noted, it is our view that the motion for a stay is not provided for in this court's rules, in CAF's rules, the court that ultimately would review any such TJAC certificate of review. But moreover, we would also respectfully remind the court that, in fact, prior to the expiration of the deadline set by this court, we did notify officially in writing this court of our intention to ask the Judge Advocate General to exercise Article 67A2 jurisdiction. We believed that we respectfully complied with our obligation. We did not miss the deadline. We didn't disrespect the deadline by doing so. And furthermore, since there's no provision for asking for a stay in the rules of this court or our Superior Court, we believe that we chose a course of action. And if I can refer back to those 26 cases that I mentioned earlier that the Judge Advocate General certified to CAF, they cover the full gamut of cases that this court hears: completed Article 66 reviews, Article 62 appeals, petitions for extraordinary relief, most recently an LRM. There was certainly no decision in that case. And I would refer once more to Nelson. The full gamut of actions that this court can take have in fact been have been certified by the TJAG to CAF. And in none of those 26 cases did the government request or did CAF require a motion for stay before that TJAG certificate of review could be litigated.
In any of those cases, was the case still pending? Right now, the case is back with us pending reconsideration. So could TJAG certify this issue up to CAF while the case is still with us?
Actually, so, Your Honor. And then I would point to the example of United States versus Humphreys, which also predated any of the judges from their time on this court. In Humphreys, this court issued an order to the convening authority ordering him to reconsider his clemency decision where the convening authority had approved a bad conduct discharge. This court ordered the convening authority to reconsider that decision and ordered him to issue a new action that would approve no greater than a suspended bad conduct discharge. Clearly, Article 66 review had not been completed in Humphreys at that point. So to use that illustration, the fact that the case was still pending Article 66 review really is of no moment on whether TJAG can certify a case to CAF or not. Now, ultimately, we didn't prevail at CAF, but it wasn't on this issue. And CAF certainly did not hold in Humphreys that it was an improper TJAC certificate of review because it was a matter that was still in effect pending before this court. So I would rely upon Humphreys to answer Your Honor's question.
Of course, in Humphreys, we issued a decision as well, which was the subject of the appeal. But I guess I want to get back to sort of defining what the government's position is here with respect to the interplay between this court's orders and the ability to seek appellate review of whatever sort of those orders. Is it the government's position that orders are not final until a period of 60 days has elapsed?
Your Honor, I respectfully submit that this court has to recognize the statutory authority provided by Congress and as implemented by CAF's 60-day rule in the functioning of this court's activity. That is the law, and that's all we ever sought to do here, was merely assert the law. We were never intending any nefarious conduct. We were open and upfront with the court, telling the court in a timely manner what we were doing. But our view is, this court has to take into account TJAC's statutory authority.
And it's not limited
by any case law, any particular kind of case or posture of the case. There's no such limitation present in the law.
But that goes to why we should grant a stay of our order and not thumb our nose at the statutory requirements. Well, I guess I'm trying to get at the question of what's wrong, what's the problem from the government's perspective with asking for a continuation, an extension, a stay, whatever you want to call it, past the date that you think this decision, the statutory decision, needs to be made by. Is there some reason you didn't do that, won't do that in the future?
Well, Your Honor, I guess using that hypothetical, wouldn't that create the situation where, what if this court denied the motion for stay? Then we clearly would have a collision of TJAC's statutory authority that is expressly provided by Congress and the action of this court. That seems an unworkable solution to me. That's not provided in rule or statute in any way, shape, or form.
So I guess that leads back to my question is, does every time this court issue an order, let's say for appellate discovery, that we have to give a date of compliance that's more than 60 days out?
No, Your Honor. I think what we would respectfully ask the court to do is to recognize that the actions of this court are indeed subject to further appellate review under Article 67A2. That's all we're seeking. Nothing more or less than that. We recognize that it creates a little conflict about when things are going to get done, but frankly, further appellate review that is provided by law is really not a bad thing. You saw how the parties took two very different positions on this issue, and if further clarification could come through the process, that seems like a laudable objective, but more importantly, one that's provided by law.
TJAC certification is not the exclusive province of the government. Of course, the defense can seek TJAC certification of an issue. So is it the government's position that if we issue an order to appellate defense, that likewise the appellate defense need not comply with that order for a period of 60 days?
I can't create a rule for the government and a rule for the defense, Your Honor. I cannot. That's simply not a logical position for me to take.
So if we grant the defense an enlargement of 15 days to file a brief instead of the 30 requested, the appellate defense can take 60 days to file its brief because it has that period to consider whether it's going to seek TJAC certification of that issue.
I suppose that's theoretically possible, but with respect, highly, highly impractical that anybody would request a TJAC certificate of review under those circumstances. Could it theoretically be done? I have to maintain yes, but it's really difficult for me to envision that scenario ever playing out.
It might be an unsuccessful scenario, but appellate defense could file requests for certification just because they think it's the right thing to do. I think you might be right that TJ may not take them up on it, but there wouldn't be anything wrong under this construct that them asking.
I can't argue that there would be, Your Honor. I can't make that argument to this court.
And I think there's been some cases where the government has objected to the defense being late with filings or out of compliance with orders, let's put it that way, and has never given them the benefit of this 60-day grace period while they could have been seeking TJAG review of their situation.
Well, that's true, but then the defense has never invoked that position either.
Or perhaps like us, they didn't think it existed.
I'm sorry?
Perhaps like us, they didn't think this process existed until today. So maybe they will start tomorrow. I just question the value of, I mean, the way I hear you describing it is we didn't want to ask you first day because you might deny it. So the flip side of that is we'll go through this process and open the door to the defense to keeping all their motions and orders inchoate for 60 days.
Let me clarify, Your Honor. I was answering your hypothetical when I said you might deny it. It is our view that the law does not require it in the first place. That was the position that we actually took in this case. And it was only in response to your hypothetical about creating a rule in future cases.
But you could take a writ to CAF for a writ of prohibition or mandamus us if we were to deny, for example, a motion to stay. I mean, you have options. Yeah, I did some research, and it just looked to me like every time the government wanted to take on something like this, they did it through an extraordinary writ, or came up as an extraordinary writ, and it continued on as an extraordinary writ. So it seems to me that you have the power to force us into compliance with the statute without opening the door to this unworkable, in your own words, process by which everything has date plus 60, or date plus 20, if you think it has to be a writ attached to it.
Well, Your Honor, our view is that extraordinary writs by the government are extremely rare. I can't think of too many that we filed at CAF. Certainly the most common vehicle that we have utilized is to ask the Judge Advocate General to certify an article of 6782. LRM, I guess, is a rare instance where TJ, well, even that was a TJ certificate of review of a petition for extraordinary relief. So that was really a combination of
I guess I'm just still not. The possibilities that this opens up for us just becoming unworkable just doesn't seem worth what you're getting out of it.
Well, Your Honor, the main point I wanted to convey to you today is to explain what we did and why we did it. And that was not to convey the impression, the intention, the statement of disrespect or contempt. That was never our desire here. I want to make that very, very clear.
So what you said was, the respectfully notifies this Honorable Court of the United States is considering further appellate review by a TJ certification of this court order related to post-trial discovery. In the next case, would there be a problem with adding, and we hereby request a stay in this pending order until X date upon which that certification process will have been started, completed, whatever the word is.
I think that would require an amendment to your rules because it's not provided at this time, Your Honor.
Well, there's also no rule that says you can file for a motion for leave to file a response, but you didn't, you know, you came up with that. Anyway,
Is it the same for motion for appropriate relief? Isn't the stay just one form of appropriate relief?
I apologize, Your Honor. Could you repeat the question?
Say it's not provided for rules. Certainly the rules provide for a motion for appropriate relief. Isn't the stay just one form of appropriate relief?
I suppose it could be, but it's not expressly provided.
CAF is a motion stage, correct?
I'm sorry?
CAF has stayed proceedings in the lower court, correct?
They have, but not in any of the 26 cases that I referred to.
But you said it's not provided for CAF rules, yet they found a way to do it.
That's correct. They have stayed proceedings before, yes, Your Honor. Not in any of our TJ certificates of review, though.
Did any of the certificates involve a court order where the court had set a due date for?
I could not find anywhere they did. I think this is kind of unique in that respect. But that uniqueness created the collision between TJX statutory authority and the workings of this court.
Is the 60 days statutory, or is that a creature?
That's provided by CAF rule implementing TJX statutory authority. And it's consistent with an appellant's right to petition for review at CAF, which is also 60 days.
So thank you for my answer. 90 days out based on the cause.
I apologize, could you repeat that?
They could grant review under TJ certificate after 90 days elapsed if they found the cause.
They could, but from my experience, that would never happen. I don't think they would grant the government an extra day beyond the 60 days in the rule. We would not be wise to push that test.
Counsel, you've repeatedly cited how our rules don't have motion for a stay in them, but Both sides routinely request extensions of time. Why wouldn't that be appropriate in this case, had that been your goal here, to say we request an extension of time to comply with the court's order until we've sought TJAG certification? I mean, isn't that the functional equivalent of a stay?
If I may have just a moment, Your Honor. I guess where our interpretation comes back to is the manual for courts martial and TJAG's authority. There's nothing in the manual for courts martial itself that speaks to appellate stays, except for RCM 908, which talks about CAF from the Supreme Court issuing stays in the case where a CCA grants a government appeal under Article 62. That's the only reference we can find where the manual itself speaks to appellate stays. And I think the rules that this court set forth concerning enlargements to file a brief are because of the statutory interplay in TJAG's authority, I'm not sure that would be the right fit. It seems to me that if the court wanted to expressly provide for this, it would be wise for an amendment to the rule itself. But once more, I would go back to the fact that we did inform the court of our intention prior to the expiration of the deadline. I see that my time has expired. Are there any further questions at this point?
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Appellate defense, I will let you know that I don't expect that we'll have a lot of questions for you, but if you want to address the court and some of the issues that we've brought up with your opposing counsel.
Good morning, Senior Judge Mitchell, Senior Judge Hecker, and members of the court. I, Captain Michael Shannon, Colonel Patrick Wells, represent the appellant in this case. And to follow what you were saying, Your Honor, the appellant has no additional comments to add from the court's specified issues for today's oral argument. With that, I don't know if the court has any questions for appellants, either on the specified issues or the government argue. We would be happy to supply answers to those questions, but without questions, we have no additional comments.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure, that was a little bit shorter than you were expecting.
It was. I don't mean to overstate the case, but I would also remind of the court of our actions in another recent TJAG cert that has been during our tenure, and that is the Soto decision. In Soto, this court ordered the government to set aside, or rather to dismiss his rape conviction, ordered the government to hold a sentence rehearing. And of course, it should be apparent to all now that neither of those steps have been taken. Once again, not out of disrespect, but out of pursuit of further appellate review.
Doesn't that go back to our first question, though, about a difference between an opinion of this court, where we give an opinion under Article 66 about the legal and factual sufficiency, or other issues raised by appellate defense on behalf of their client, and the government rightfully seeks review of this court's decision by our Superior Court, and an order by this court for either side to meet some deadline that this court sets?
Yes, Your Honor, I agree. That is certainly the most common experience that we have with TJAG certificates of review, that you've completed your Article 66 review process, and then the case is continued on. But it's not the exclusive example, and I hearken back to Nelson, where CAF expressly granted relief on that very narrow question of this court's their abuse of discretion in denying a motion to amend a document. I mean, that was the holding of the court.
I think the holding in Melson is that we abused our discretion. We use that phrase as the standard of review, that we erred in deciding the case adversely to the government without allowing the government an opportunity to submit responsive affidavits.
Yes, Your Honor, I agree with that.
So the issue there was that we issued a decision, not that we issued or failed to issue an order.
Well, we also separately certified the question of this court's decision, and CAF expressly declined to reach that because this court refused to accept and consider the affidavit. And they ordered this court to then accept and consider this affidavit, which the court did, and then reversed their prior decision about IAC. Likewise in Humphreys, I think Humphreys is an excellent example of an order. While Article 66 is still in progress, I mean, the case had to come back up for completion of 66 review after the convening authority carried out the order of this court to correct his action. I think Humphreys is likewise a very valid example. Certainly, most are going to be completed reviews. But I guess arguably, even in this case, the court has already issued a decision affirming the modified findings and sentence here. So even that predicate sort of carries this case along as well, much like you saw in both Nelson, not Humphreys.
Isn't there a difference between a case like Humphreys where we had completed Article 66 review such that we sent it back, in this case where because of the pending reconsideration, we have the NCOA decision in the first place still before us. I understand that Humphreys 66 was going to resume when it came back, but it had left our court. And this is a judgment call for the government, but looking at Article 67, it talks about certifying a case and obviously recommend issues within that case. Here, the case is still with us and could still be with us 60 days, whatever deadline you're operating under. And if that's the case, I just wonder how you can go up when it's still here.
Well, Your Honor, I guess I'm just trying to articulate the position that we're not limited to complete Article 66 review before TTX certificate can be filed. We believe there are established examples of something far less than that available in the case law. That's the point I'm driving at. Certainly that's not the norm, but we do believe they exist.
The government has now submitted what we believe are responsive affidavits or declarations to the discovery order. And the government's position, is there anything that now keeps this court from issuing a decision under Article 66 in this matter?
No, Your Honor. We're here to say that by our decision in admitting these documents, the appellate discovery issue is now moot. And so certainly the court is, that there's nothing standing in the way of the court doing this, which you said. For all of these reasons, we believe there is not a basis to dismiss the appellant's just conviction and sentence for violently taking the life of his 2-month-old baby. For all of these reasons, and the fact that his case was not among those referenced in the DOPIG report, it is our position, of course, that there's also no basis for a finding of contempt by counsel. We assure the court we were seeking nothing more and further appellate review provided by law. No intention of disrespect, disobedience, or contempt was intended here. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you both for your presentations today. Court will issue a decision in due course.
church, or where, Joanne, or why, or something.
He was a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.